And welcome to another episode of 2 minutes, dos minutos. If you've been following us regularly or recently, you know that our last podcast was a preview of the NFL draft, specifically with a bent on what the Miami Dolphins might do or were going to do. Well, this is our recap show where we find out exactly what the Dolphins did. The draft is over. All seven rounds are complete. And the Dolphins have picked up a number of players that we'll discuss here today. I'm joined, as always, by my co-host Alf and producer Brian. And for those of you that watched our last episode, you see Pablo has returned. And you might be wondering why Alan is not with us today. Well, if you recall, the four of us, Alf, myself, Alan, and Pablo, all made our predictions for what the Dolphins would do with the two picks in the first round. That's a total of 8 selections that we made. Of those 8, 7 were wrong. And the only super fan to get one of his 2 correct was Pablo, which is why he was invited back. We got rid of because he was 0 for 2. So Pablo, welcome back. It's great to have you back again this week for our recap show.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it. I didn't know I was on the line. I'd be booted if I didn't pick one. I'm glad you didn't tell me that ahead of time. I would have been really nervous about that.
We didn't want to put any pressure on you guys, but you see what happened now. It's like the trap door opened and Alan fell straight through. That's it. He's gone. Yeah, into the shark-infested waters below. So
I'll tell you, what, he's not entirely gone, Alan, that is, from North Dakota. He's an assignment already. Prospecting, you know, actually scouting the new prospects of 2022. So, you know, that's his homework, and he didn't do a good job. So he's starting early to make sure he gets it right the next time.
Already working on next year's draft. So let's talk about this year's draft. And I think a good place to start would be the first 5 picks before Miami's. Obviously, 1 and 2 were not a surprise. I think at 3, we weren't sure which quarterback San Francisco was going to take until we got a little bit closer. And I think you finally saw where Mac Jones was not going to be the pick there. But then 4 and 5 really couldn't go any worse for Miami, based at least on our conversations. I'm going to ask Pablo. Pablo, what are you thinking as 4 and 5 happened Thursday night and you're saying to yourself, no, 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 no. Tell me what you were thinking there.
Well, if you remember, I actually wasn't saying no, 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 because I really thought that Atlanta was going to take Kyle Pitts and he wasn't my pick for the Dolphins. I know he was your guy's pick. He was not my pick for the Dolphins, but I was kind of resigned to the fact that he was not going to be there, that Atlanta was going to take Kyle Pitts. As far as Cincinnati, I was not surprised that they took Chase as well, but I really thought they were going to take Sewell. It made sense for them to take Sewell. They just couldn't pass up Chase. So I knew Alfredo was heartbroken. I knew he was heartbroken because he wanted us to have that quandary at 6. Sewell, Chase, you know, he wanted us to really suffer through that and which one were we going to pick. And then it came down to, hey, he knew that Waddle was there and that's who he wanted and that's who he got. So that's not who I wanted, but it's all about versatility. And we'll talk about that a little more. Dolphins are all about versatility.
I thought it was interesting. The point that we all brought up in our preview show was when we last remembered Joe Burrow, he was on his back with a season-ending injury. Yep. And so you would have to think, you know, they got to protect this guy. He could have the 4 top receivers in the NFL all on his team. And if he can't be protected, those guys aren't going to do him any good. So I'm sure there was a lot given to the relationship between Burrow and Chase from the college perspective. But like you, Pablo, I probably would have leaned to wanting to keep my quarterback upright and healthy rather than having him running around for his life. every play. I did think about you a lot, Pablo, on draft night when the Dolphins came up, because there they were, and your selection of Smith was looking them square in the eye,
yep.
and they go Waddle. Tell me your thoughts about that as you saw that play out.
I'm going to tell you exactly what I think. The smoke screen that I spoke about, the fact that this guy Smith said that the quarterback now at Alabama was better than Tua. And I think to myself, I wonder if as part of their, as part of their strategizing, the Dolphins spoke to Tua and Tua said, you know what? Out of the two receivers that I threw to, Waddle was better. I wonder if that worked into their strategy. They talked to Tua and said, look, we're going to get you a receiver. And these guys are on our board. They're pretty much even. Which one would you take? And he probably told him Waddle's better. He's more versatile. He's going to be open all the time. He's got breakout speed. Everything that Alfredo, touted him to be and wanted him to be the pick if it wasn't Chase. Alfredo said from day one, on all of our chats, hey, I would take Waddle over Smith any day. And I think Tua had something to do with that. That's what I think.
I think you're right, Pablo. And we bring in all these professional scouts and advanced scouts and scout this and scout that. But if you've got a player already on your team who played with both of those players in competitive college football games, that's got to be the best firsthand scout you can possibly have.
Right. That's what I think.
Yep. So Alpha, we get Waddle, and immediately, nobody sets the bar too high, right? They only immediately say he's the next coming of Tyreek Hill. That's all they say about the guy.
Yes.
Come on. Give the poor kid a break. My God, he's fast, maybe a little diminutive in stature. But, I think, can we wait and see? Can we pump the brakes on Tyreek Hill and the Kansas City offense is coming to Miami?
Of course, he hasn't played a single down in the NFL, but he does meet the requirement of making our receivers great. And let me tell you why. If you remember in our first broadcast, we talked about yards after catch. It's the lowest in the NFL. Separation, lowest in the NFL. Mr. Waddle solves all our problems related to that. I think he's going to have a lot of separation. He's going to make yards after the catch. And we're no longer going to be in the bottom of the league. Because that's been our problem. We now have a player that the defense has to worry about. We just haven't had that player yet. Now we have a superstar the defense has to plan around. What does that mean? He's going to get catches. Tua's going to feel comfortable. He's going to get better. The other players, the other receivers are going to be able to catch balls much more, get even more separation because they can't pay attention to all the players. They got to double up Waddle now. Now the defense has somebody to worry about. And I think that's a big, big contribution that Waddle will make. And let me add one more thing. The Dolphins did not have a slot receiver. He fits perfectly in it. That's the reason why Waddle added a lot of sense for the Dolphins. And in addition to that, he's a return man. He's a specialist.
That's right. There you go.
So he's dynamic, meaning he can do a lot of things. He can do jet sweeps. You can use him all kinds of places, number one. And number two, he does special teams. He's explosive. He's now going to be the only receiver we have in the Miami Dolphins that can blow the top off the defense. We didn't have that before. So he's the answer to all our doubts and all our questions. Now, he's not Tyreek Hill, but he can be. He can be our version, a poor man version of Tyreek Hill. So that's not bad either.
So I got to ask our super fan, not only of the Dos Minutos podcast, but also of the Dolphins, the first pick of Waddle. Are you happy with it?
100%. 100%. I think Alfredo explained it perfectly. And I want to add one more thing. The diversity. I think the fact that he can do so many things, I think that is a common thread throughout all of these players. And I think it's a common thread with this organization now under Flores and Greer. And if I may add, they also set themselves up to save some cap space. Because I think Albert Wilson and Hakeem Grant better start getting ready to pack their bags. I think there's not enough room for all those guys. And you not only did you solve the problem, all the problems that Alfredo mentioned, but you also saved yourself some cap space possibly. But I'm very happy with that pick.
All right. Alfredo, go ahead.
Yeah, let me add to that. I mean, the whole situation now becomes, what are you going to do with 12 and 13 receivers in the Dolphins? Half of them, at least half of them, will be gone now. So now they have choices to select the best of the other group, you know, if you will. So Waddle's not going to make a huge difference. Like I say, he's really going to, you know, we talked about offensive weapons for Tua. Well, we got it. I mean, we got Waddle. Now we'll talk about another weapon we didn't get, really.
Yeah.
We're talking about, but that's another topic. I'm sure that Mike, you'll let us know about that. But really about wide receiver, we got everything we asked for. I do believe, and I said that before in our first broadcast of the NFL draft, was that they moved from 3 to 12 and then moved 12 to 6 for the purpose of getting 3 to 4 guys, and Waddle was one of them. And I think that's they served us great. I think it was a great pick.
All right, so then the draft continues on, and it moved at a decent pace, I thought. There was a lot of the picks, some of the picks that we had talked about. I know a couple of us at 18 were hopeful that maybe a Micah Parsons could be there, and he went a little bit earlier. And so we're sitting here at 18, and there are a number of players, really, really good players that are out there and available. The running backs are all there. Najee Harris and Etienne, they're there. The class of running backs in this draft. But Miami chooses to take probably the premier edge rusher in the draft with Jalen Phillips. And that was Pablo's pick. Congratulations on that, Pablo. So I think we're going to know how you feel about that. This is your chance to show some peacock pride right now and show those feathers and tell us your estimation of what Jalen Phillips is going to mean for the Miami Dolphins.
Jalen Phillips, to me, you know, talking about let's not call Waddle, you know, Tyreek Hill, he reminds me a little bit about Jason Taylor. Without that killer, you know, strip sack, touchdown, you know, mentality, he doesn't have that. I don't think anybody had that as good as Jason Taylor. But to me, he's that kind of player. Explosive, strong. He can beat you with strength. He can beat you with speed. He's always, you know, he's got a great motor. He's always in the play until the very end. He closes fast. He just looks really impressive. And talking about running backs, we were having deja vu, all of us. We're like, oh, my God, all these running backs are there. But we just knew that the Dolphins were not going to pull the trigger on a running back that early. And it's a shame because you're right. They were all there. They were all there for the taking. We could have taken any running back we wanted. But at the end of the day, we knew we needed help defensively. We lost a lot of sacks when we let those two guys go, Lawson and Van Noy. And we can't, you know, we need defense. Defense wins championships at the end of the day. We got to help Tua, but we got to stay strong on defense. So I was very happy. That's the guy I wanted. That's the guy we talked about a lot. And I'm glad he was there for us to take.
Well, it's interesting. You know, you talk about the defense. I think overall, Flores and Greer were pretty satisfied with the defense that they currently have. If you think about it, they only took two defensive players in the draft this year, Phillips obviously being one of them, and the very next pick that they took in the second round, Javon Holland out of Oregon. So clearly they were focused on the offensive side of the ball, which they should be. The defense was solid. And Pablo, I want to ask you again, the Waddle Tyreek Hill thing, that's fine. You can compare it, but we have to pump the brakes a little bit. But what if we were to do the same exercise with Phillips, modern-day current NFL edge player? I mean, who do you throw out there? Is it Bosa? Is it Watt? I mean, who could you compare him to if he does reach your expectation in the NFL?
Like I said, I would be very happy if he was 90% of what Jason Taylor was for us. That's who I'm comparing him to. That's it. That's the bottom line. You know, he's himself. You know, he's nobody other than who he is. We do have limited, film on him, and he had limited reps. He does have an injury history. He did retire, quote unquote, for a little bit. So there's some question marks there. But listen, he's homegrown. That's good. They got to see him quite a bit. They didn't have to go very far to see him. And it's good. It's good that they took a Miami local guy. You know, let's root for him that he does well. And we needed an edge rusher.
So we go into the second round, and the Dolphins decide to go back to the defensive side of the ball, and they take the top safety, the top ranked safety from Oregon, Javon Holland. And a lot of what I've heard these experts and pundits say is the fact that this guy can do so many different things. He's unique in that we drafted him as a position of safety, but he can definitely cover the slot receiver. He's a great attacker of the football, both to defend and to tackle. And I wonder if you all have any thought to, does this guy replace a player the Dolphins had like that at one point, but for whatever reason, things just didn't seem to work out between Minka Fitzpatrick and the Miami Dolphins. Pablo, what do you think about that?
100%. He called himself the Swiss Army knife, right? And then when he came here, all of a sudden he only wanted to play one position, and he wanted us to tell him which one he was going to play so he could gain weight or lose weight or whatever. This guy's coming in the same way, saying, I'll do whatever you need. I think the consistent thread through all of this is two things. He's versatile. This guy's versatile. And that's what they like. He also comes in with a position that some of these guys that we have may end up being cap casualties if this guy works out. Again, we're talking about a couple of these free safeties that we have now that did rather well. But I think this regime is all about, young guys that are versatile and that can do the job. And you know what? If you've got a big contract here, don't rest on your laurels, because you may be gone rather quickly. But yeah, he compares to Minka Fitzpatrick, except I think this guy is going to be more moldable. Minka Fitzpatrick was, to me, a little bit of a diva after he got here. He just wanted to be one position, and he wanted the Dolphins to tell him what that was so he could get ready for that position. And that's not what he said pre-draft. He called himself versatile, and he ended up not being. And that was Flores' first test, and he passed it 100%. He let everybody know with Minka Fitzpatrick that it was his way or the highway, no matter who you were.
And so from this point on, the Dolphins then, with the draft, the balance of the draft, focus on the offensive side of the football. They wind up taking two offensive tackles, a tight end, and a running back. And I just want to ask overall, not necessarily Pablo, because I'm not sure how much you watch college football and know about, offensive linemen. I certainly don't. I watch a lot of college football, and I can't tell you anything about an offensive lineman. But what do you see with the Dolphins' need here that they felt like they should take a couple of linemen who played the tackle position in this draft?
Yeah, I mean, they need offensive linemen. They want to shore that up, and you can never have, just like you can never have too many of anything. This seems like that's what they're always saying. But I think versatile offensive linemen, like this guy that they traded up to get from Notre Dame, a guy that could play left side, right side, guard, tackle, they value that. A lot of people value that, because at the end of the day, somebody's going to get hurt, and you need to have somebody go in there to be competent and play well. I'll tell you, the mistake that they made in this draft, in my opinion, is to draft a tight end. No matter how good he was, no matter how versatile he was, they needed a running back. And there were a couple of good running backs there when they took that tight end. And I hope it works out for them, but I'm a Gesicki fan, and I think they have in him and Smythe all they need from the tight end position. That's my opinion, not necessarily most of my friends. Certainly if you compare Pitts to other tight ends, you can make a very good argument for drafting Pitts, but Other than that, I thought that was the biggest mistake they made in this draft, is to draft a tight end and draft him that high. I think they should have gone with a running back, the best running back available there. The guy from Oklahoma was available. There was a couple of other guys I can't remember, but there were a couple of running backs that were worth taking there other than a tight end. That's my opinion.
I think that's fair criticism. I honestly do. I will say, if you read any of the Herald reporters, there was some talk that the guy that they had focused in on as their running back pick was taken 35th.
Yeah,
right, that was before a heartbreaker. Miami selected at 36th.
Heartbreaker.
And I think that just absolutely broke their spirit to the point where they said, that's it. We're not getting this guy, so forget it. We'll figure out something either late in the draft, or we'll make do with what we have somehow. And maybe we can put our new shiny toy, Waddle. Maybe he gets, you know, who knows, 4 carries a game. He certainly might in some odd way. You know, if they're going to use this guy like a Tyreek Hill, he's going to run jet sweeps and he's going to run double reverses. And so who knows? Maybe, you know, he gets a few carries in there. But I clearly think that they were broken at 35th. If you think about it, it escapes me who selected him at 35.
Denver traded up to take him. Yep.
And I think that the last thing they expected was for Denver to take him, because, you know, you're saying, I'm not sure Denver needs him, but you can't look at it that way because you never know what a team is thinking, you know, when they draft. So I think they got their spirit broken a little bit, and I think they just soured on the whole thing and said, you know what, the heck with it. I will say this about the selection of Hunter Long, the tight end out of Boston College. I'll say a couple of things, Pablo. I'll take the positive first, and then we'll look at the negative. I think the attraction and the pedestal putting of Kyle Pitts as a generational tight end that you only get once, you know, every million years, probably put a little bit of warts on the other top tight ends, who in and of themselves are really, really good players. But the shine came off of them a little bit because of Pitts. And so I think, in fact, the Dolphins got themselves a hell of a player. Now, do they need that player at that position? As of today, they don't. And here's the negative. The Dolphins may have outthought themselves by picking this guy and saying to themselves, let's look ahead to contract time with these current tight ends we have, and let's always make sure we've got an excellent tight end on a cheap contract. Now, you know, that will eventually get you in trouble. And I don't know if they tried to just upthink themselves like they may have done with those double trades and took themselves out of the Kyle Pitts talk. But I see you nodding your head, Pablo. Yep. Do you think that's at all possible?
100%. I think that's what they're all about. I think that's that thread that's pervasive throughout their entire decision-making. They are the New England Patriots South. I'm sorry. They are all about guys that are team first, guys that are young, guys that are cheaper contracts, rookie contracts. And when you have a big contract with them, you're on the bubble as far as I'm concerned. I don't think they're into keeping guys long term. They're going to keep those draft picks coming, and they're going to keep drafting what they think they need. And yeah, I think you're right. I think Gesicki, you know, and he's my fave. I think Gesicki's going to be in trouble in the next year or so when he's up for a contract, because if this guy works out as versatile as he is, I think Gesicki might be a casualty of just making too much money or commanding too much money, which he'll deserve, but we won't value him at that price. I agree with you 100%.
Yeah. There's obviously something there for them to take, because they did a great job, I thought, in this draft. It just seemed like that we were just getting more and more at one position that I'm not sure we needed. I mean, we've got Gesicki, we've got we've got Spieth,
Sheenan.
We've got a lot of guys there. Yep. And maybe they thought to themselves, you know, this kid could be really good. And as you said, he's going to be cheap. And so I hope he's really good, because if not, you made a mistake on. And when that's a third round pick, that, you know, that's a big mistake.
But I think you're 100% with them, you know, breaking their back with that pick. I really, and if you remember, Williams from North Carolina was my pick for them in the third round. And I think that's who they were zeroing in on. I know Alfredo, we had talked about this a lot. And he says, we're not going to get Etienne. We're not going to get, the Najee Harris. He says, but Williams might be there for us. And coming into the draft, the Jets were above us. Atlanta was above us. And there was a lot of talk about one of those two was going to take him. And I'm said, darn, Atlanta's going to screw us again. So, oh, sorry, I'm not supposed to say that.
Yeah, that's all right. This is okay.
Atlanta's going to, you know, took Pitts, and now Atlanta is going to take Williams. And they did the next worst thing. They traded him to a team, Denver, that traded the pick to Denver, which did take him. So yeah, I think you're 100% right. I think the draft would have fallen really good for us if we'd have been able to get Williams from NC there. And I think you're 100% right. That had to break their back. I don't know. I wish I could have seen their draft room when he got picked ahead. I don't know if anybody saw that live or if they showed it or not.
I didn't see it, but you can imagine the collective oxygen just probably left that room in a second. Just everybody's like, what?
Yeah.
I mean, the face is probably just, you know, incredulous. You know, they can't imagine that happened. How can that? No, that can't happen.
He was there. He was there. He was just about to fall over
their hand. To our listeners and our viewers who might play fantasy football, that would be as if the player you're targeting is right there waiting for you to take, and the guy before you already has three players at that same position. And still takes the guy, right? You know, steals the guy from you. It just absolutely crushes your spirit. So I have to think the same kind of thing happened. But I will say this. I'm not quite sure of Mr. Player number 244. The Dolphins did get a running back, Jared Doakes, out of Cincinnati with their last pick in the draft this year. And I saw a tweet that Jared put out that I have to say, Alfredo and Pablo, was very, very disconcerting to me. This is a guy who plays running back. He's a running back. He runs with the football. And he tweeted out, if you want to keep your quarterback upright, then I'm your guy. Well, that's not the guy I want running my football. I mean, I don't need you to be the blitz pickup man of all time. I need you to run the football. And when I saw that, it just seemed like it just didn't make sense. But then you think about it, he was 22nd to last pick of the entire draft, and the chances of Mr. Doakes maybe even being here, on day one, I don't know. I don't have any thoughts other than that seemed like a strange tweet, Pablo.
I mean, let's give him the benefit of the doubt and say he meant hand off the ball to me instead of having him drop back and pass. Maybe that's what he meant. Let's give him the benefit of the doubt. I will say this. Gaskin, our current starting running back, was a seventh round pick as well. So if that means anything, you know, I mean, the guy was seventh round pick. Nothing was expected of him. And now he's our starting running back. So, you know, we talked about this. Alfredo and I talked about this at length with our other friends as well. Offline, and at the end of the day, if they had been able to get Williams, they would have swayed me in the other position, in the other direction. But I think they just don't value the running back position. I think that they really believe that they can get a running back anywhere in the draft and make them serviceable and focus on other parts of the game. I think that they are all about getting, you know, running backs on the cheap. And making it work with their system. That's not their driving force on offense, is my opinion. That's how they're behaving, you know, the way they handle.
I think that's a fair assessment. And I'll also harken back to last season, because you had a fine running back that played in the NFL last season. He played for the Jacksonville Jaguars, James Robinson. James Robinson wasn't even drafted. He was an undrafted free agent who wound up being one of the top runners in the NFL last year. So, yes, you can find those guys. Now, not every team has an undrafted free agent as their starting running back, but those guys are out there. You can find them. You can, I mean, another guy who was really good didn't even play a lot of running back in college, and that's the Gibson running back at Washington, the Washington football team. Mm. Antonio Gibson wasn't even a full-time running back in college. They converted him to that, and he had a nice season. So I think there's some options there, and I think that does tell you a lot, Pablo. You're right about the Dolphins' thoughts on that particular position and the fact that they had a chance to grab Harris or Etienne and didn't do it. That tells you just as much as well.
Yeah, and, you know, everyone always says don't take them in the first round. I think that would have been a really high, you know, place to take them in the first round. I mean, 18 overall for a running back, that would have been against the grain. We talked about this. You know, we wanted wide receiver, running back, defensive end. That's the order that, well, that's the order that some of my friends wanted. And then as the draft got closer, we got more realistic and we said, you know what? They need defense. They need sacks. So then we agreed, okay, it's going to be a defensive end. But certainly some teams did, you know, did pull the handle on the first round running back. They just did it later in the draft. You know, you know, I hope, and I, you know, I don't know if we'll ever find out. I hope that was the guy they were targeting at three, was Williams from NC. And if that was the case, then, you know, then that would have been great. And so, you know, que sera, we'll see what happens.
So let's talk about what happens. Let's look forward to the second week of September, and the Dolphins are ready to open the season. As a matter of fact, I think, in the next 10 days or so, the NFL is going to unveil the schedule. So while we don't know who that opening team will be yet, we will in probably 10 days. But let's go forward to that. And who do we see from this draft having an integral part on our offense and our defense? Alf, what do you think?
You know, I think the top four players chosen in the draft will have some kind of contribution to the Dolphins. I'm not sure if the tight end that you mentioned, a third round, will be contributing too much, maybe in special teams. And the seventh rounders, I'm not sure they'll do anything or even be in the team. But I think the first four, you know, Waddle, check mark, he's got to be in the game. If not, then this is going to be the draft of Waddle. And everybody's going to compare, why did Miami pick Waddle over Devontae Smith? That's what's, you know, when people are going to question why, well, Waddle needs to prove why Miami Dolphins picked Waddle over Devontae Smith. I think he'll be a major contributor. He has to be. Second, Phillips. I love the Phillips pick because, remember, at number 18, no defensive end was selected prior to that. So Miami showed their hand and said, this is the best pass rusher. So I think he's going to be in the rotation of the defense. I'm not sure if he'll be able to start. I don't know. It takes a while. Even Chase, who was number one last year, took him a while to get going. So maybe early on he'll be in the rotation, and maybe later on, maybe after six games, eight games, he may start. I don't know. Of course, you mentioned about the safety, which, by the way, that's another behavioral characteristics of the Dolphins. Not only they selected the first defensive end, their number one defensive end, but when they came at number 36, they selected their number one safety. There was no safety selected before that. So that's what I'm pretty happy about, Javon Holland. He's a ball hawk, and I think he's going to make a difference. I think he may be, out of all the three, he may be the one that makes a huge difference. And, of course, the lineman that they picked in 42 that they traded up for, I think he's going to be the one that's probably going to be starting from day one. So if you ask me, it'll be the lineman, which, by the way, I got to make sure I say his name right. Liam Eckenberg, is that correct?
Eckenberg, yeah.
Close
Eckenberg.
Enough.
Yep. Okay, Eckenberg, okay. Liam Eckenberg. I think he'll be the one that contributes the most. Then you have the safety. Then you have probably Waddle and Phillips kind of contributing the same way. So that's how I see it.
All right. Pablo, what do you think?
I disagree with Al. As far as who's going to contribute the most, I agree with you that everybody's going to be comparing Waddle to Smith, including myself, including myself, because I wanted Smith. But I think Waddle has to be the guy. He has to be, if you remember how they used Albert Wilson with the jet sweeps, with the, you know, with the slot, you know, throws, with some deep throws in the seam. You know, Albert Wilson was all over the place, you know, running away from people with his speed. I think Waddle has to take over games. He has to be our guy. He has to be our home run hitter from day one. I think number two, Phillips is going to be a rotational defensive end in third round, you know, third down position. He's going to be a third round rusher, and I think he's going to have a huge impact. I do agree with you that that ball hawk safety is going to win that position. I think he's starting quite a bit. And if you can imagine what kind of a defensive backfield we have with Howard, Jones, and now this guy as a safety, it's going to be tough to throw against us, you know. So I think those three guys will be the most impact. As far as the offensive lineman, I think he's a good pick, and I think he probably would be a lot easier for him to start, but that remains to be seen, because I think we did pretty well with our offensive line the last year or so and the pickups that we had. So yeah, he'll start, but I think as far as impact, I think Waddle and Phillips will be the ones that'll have the biggest impact.
And I think that's fair. I mean, they were two of the top 18 players selected out of the entire draft. They should. If they don't, shame on the Miami Dolphins. You know, what were they thinking when they had the draft? I'll throw my two cents in there. I think on opening day, the opening day kickoff by the opponent, the Dolphin back there at the goal line to receive the kickoff will be Jalen Waddle. And I will tell you this. I think that kid is going to return the kickoff regardless of where it goes, unless it goes out of the end zone on the fly. I think he's going to, even if it's 8 yards deep in the end zone, he's going to take that kick out. I don't know if he's going to take it all the way to the house, but he's going to want to show everybody this explosive speed that he has, and I can't wait to see it. But I think he'll be back there returning kickoffs from day one, and he'll be in on 80% of the snaps easy. I do have a feeling that the kid Holland, the safety out of Oregon, he's got the most to prove to our coaching staff, because they are so defensive minded, and you really have to be able to play a position really to a level that is very, very high for a Flores coached and designed defense. So that kid's got the most, I think, to prove to Flores and his staff. Now, if he can do it, awesome. But if he doesn't get first team starts, that wouldn't shock me because of that defensive mindedness. And finally, the Notre Dame tackle. I think there's a very good possibility that we take the one tackle we had last year and move him inside to guard and put this kid out there at the new tackle spot. So they could do that. That's a possibility. So for sure, those top two picks, I like the way you guys are thinking about it. The Dolphins using them as a rotation. We probably now, at least in our minds, have two of the most dangerous edge rushers in the game. If you look at what Phillips has the potential to be, you got guys on both ends there that can get after the quarterback. And so that ought to be exciting. The defense is going to be as good as it was last year. The offense is going to be even better. So, guys, I think it's been a great recap. I'm going to end it with one quick question. I'm going to go first to Pablo. Pablo, was there any selection that you said to yourself or player not selected that you said, what was that all about?
The tight end shocked me. I that was the last position. I said this to all my guys. I said, the one thing they shouldn't draft is a tight end. I said that when they were talking about Pitts. I said, I don't care how good the guy is, we don't need a tight end. And they're like, he's not a tight end. He's all world Messiah, the second coming of the best, you know, football player ever in the history of the NFL. So I don't care. I still wouldn't draft a tight end. So I thought the tight end was, you know, other than what we talked about, you know, that they're thinking far ahead as far as contracts and so forth. But I thought the tight end was a bad move.
And Alf, how about you?
Yeah, I agree with, and you said the same thing, Michael, but to change it a little bit, I think the about the draft, what was really strange was not the pick that was made, but the story before the draft with Aaron Rodgers not being happy in Green Bay. I think that was the biggest, wow, you know, here we are trying to start this beautiful draft, celebrating these prospects, you know, getting selected, and then you hear Aaron Rodgers not being happy in Green Bay. That was the weirdest story. And then people started talking about it, and just the strangest thing. And then everybody kept going back to it. So that you draft, you select the player, and then they go back to the Aaron Rodgers story. So that, I think that was the biggest story of the draft.
He that story did steal a lot of all of the draft's thunder. I mean, you know, you had players being selected, and it was a typical draft that, in that respect. But then you're saying to yourself, okay, is this where we're going to hear about a trade right before a team makes a pick and Aaron Rodgers is going to go play for, you know, another team?
Yeah, New England. He's going to go to New England. He's going
And by the way, every time Green Bay was going to select, they talked about, well, they're going to help Aaron Rodgers with this pick. You know, like, and they picked a quarterback or something, like some cornerback from Georgia, which doesn't help Aaron Rodgers. And they go back to the Aaron Rodgers story. So it's kind of crazy.
Well, I will say that, and this is a little homegrown for me as well, in one regard, I was surprised. This is a very, very unique situation. The Lou Groza Award winner for the best place kicker in college football was a kid who played his entire college career in South Florida, but not at the same school. Right. Jose Borregales started out as the kicker for FIU and then transferred and finished up, played his last year at UM. Won the Lou Groza Award, was the best kicker in the country, and yet went totally undrafted. The kid out of Florida gets picked by Cincinnati, and Borregales gets left out in the cold, but it wasn't so bad. He got signed late last night by the Super Bowl champs. So, you know, for FIU Panther and UM Hurricane, congratulations to him going to a Florida team. So, guys, thanks so much for coming, and Pablo for coming back for the recap show. And, Alf, I think if it works for you, we're going to get our super fans back before the regular season starts. And once we know the schedule and we kind of know the roster, and we'll do a preview of the Dolphins season.
Sounds great.
Very good, Mike. Thank you. Great show, guys.
Thank you. Thank you, Mike.
All right. Thank you, everybody, for watching and listening and being fans of 2 Minutes, Dos Minutos. We'll be back soon with another fun podcast. Take care, everybody.